Shem Yichud, Kajabriyach, Vashchente. On behalf of Reb Shmuel and Mrs. Khan, on behalf of the administration, the head staff, our board of directors, the campers and families, I have the great privilege of welcoming everyone to Camp Pass Tufsha 9 Hay. When the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Friedeker Rebbe, was traveling from Riga to Vienna, it was in the late 1920s, on the journey he fell ill. By the time he got to Vienna, he was very sick. He was immediately hospitalized. The whole city was ready to greet him. All the important people in the city, all the Jews of Vienna were coming to see the Friedeker Rebbe, the great leader of the generation. He went straight to the hospital. And he was in serious condition, and they weren't allowing visitors. But the Rebbe insisted, and the Gabayim worked it out with the doctors, that every day the Rebbe was able to have, literally, handful of people join him in order to make a minyan. 10 exactly. And the Rebbe, the Friedeker Rebbe, from his hospital bed, would tell the Gabbai before the minyan, and there are people waiting outside. Rabbanim and the Dayanim and all the different Rebbes and all the different people were waiting all the time to come just get a glimpse. He would give specific instructions to the Gabbai, to the doctor, to the administrator of the hospital, of exactly who he wanted to be part of that minyan. How many Chabadskers? How many Belzers? Today, Mincha is someone from Kapishnitz. Tomorrow, by Shachris, two Ger Chassidim. The next day, somebody who's from the more modern community. This one comes from a Lithuanian background. And he would manipulate the variables just so. After one mincha, after the Rebbe had been there for a couple weeks already, mincha in the middle of the week, where the Rebbe had spelled it out exactly what he wanted, there was a guy there, a Belzer Chassid, a Makurov in Belzer, called him a Yoshev, someone who was close to Belzer Rebbe, was in Vienna at the time and managed to become part of that minyan, because the Friedeker had asked for a Belzer that day. After the davening, he was so mitragesh, he was so blown away, he was so inspired and taken by that mincha minyan, he was like shaking from it. And he said to the Friedeker Rebbe, I don't understand, a regular mincha on a Wednesday afternoon. I've been by Tishin and I've been at davenings all over Europe and all over Russia. I haven't experienced just special tefillah. Friedeker Rebbe looked at him and said, when Yidden, who are supposed to be in a specific place at a specific time, get together, and they daven together, it's special. And it's special because you're here. This orientation is our Nagelwasser, it's our Modahani, it's the beginning of 7 weeks of davening together. And just looking around the room, there are an unbelievable amount of very special people who are all supposed to be here together, to work together, to grow together, to be inspired together, to daven together. So first things first, Moda Ani Lefanecha. We say thank you to the Ribono Shel Olam that we're here. And we say thank you to you for being here. It's special because you're here. This is our own little virtual world here in Parksville. It's like a parallel universe that we create for a few weeks every single year. The goal of Camp Ask is to create a level playing field for everyone. Everything, every place, every experience, every activity is accessible for all. That's the goal. Our goal is to challenge and reinterpret universally accepted definitions and norms, standards, the way the world looks at people, at each other, and at themselves, all of that is coming into question. We're challenging that. We're going to challenge and reinterpret what it means to be able and what it means to not be able. You're in a place of Hashras Hashkina. You're in a place of Kedusha, a place of holiness. Specifically, we're in a shul, we're in a Beis Medrash. Rabbi Yoel Rakovsky, one of the great tzaddikim of Yerushalayim, often says, we know where to face when we daven, face toward Yerushalayim. But what happens if a Jew in Chutz La'aretz is not sure where to face, which way Yerushalayim is? So Rabbi Yoel once said, if you know which direction Camp Pasch is in, just turn there, because that's where the Shechina is. We're in the headquarters of Nishmas Yisrael, B'Tifarta, in its greatest expression. A place where we're able to appreciate and see each other and ourselves for who we are and not for what we do, for what we can be and what, and not for what we're not able to be. In this room, over the course of this next couple of months, you're going to meet and work alongside, and that's an amazing thing. We're going to work together with some of the most sensitive, loving, dynamic, experienced, committed professionals anywhere in the world. This is an incubator for community leadership. This is just the beginning for us as a group. We're part of an elite cadre, the Galaxy Alliance. We've come from so many different places. I don't know, from Kapishnitz and Bells. We've come from many different places to be a part of this minion, to be a part of this group. When all is said and done, there'll be over 500 of us working together for each other and on behalf of close to 350 campers. Over a dozen departments further subdivided into more specific groups and categories. The full range, from administrative, medical, clinical, therapeutic, educational, recreational, and support staff, and everything in between. This is a specific time and place that the Ribbono Shalom brought us together to be in. In the beginning of every Zman, this is a Zman that we're entering into. In the beginning of every Zman, the great Mir Mashgiach, Rabbi Ruchem Lubavitz, would get up and speak to all the new recruits, those who come back to start the Zman together, and he'd share a teaching about the Mishkan, about the Hakamas, or the Binyan HaMishkan, the building of the sanctuary. Vasuli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Socham. There are numerous aspects of the building of the Mishkan, of the establishment of the Mishkan, that apply, that are very relevant for our beginning of the Zman here together. First of all, the Mishkan was an Ol Moed. The Mishkan was a meeting place. It was a place where the Shivteka, where the tribes of Israel, each of whom had a different job and a different role, lived in a different place and had a different flag and a different purpose, came together to be and to serve Hashem. It's the headquarters of Avodas Hashem, the Karbanos, Ishal Machaneo v'Ishal Diglo, which is what generated Hashras Hashchina. It was also a place, and if anybody's ever gotten stuck in Shnayim Mikra and Sefer Vayikra somewhere, it's a place of unbelievable details, of incredible repetition of minutia, a focus on prate pratin. Who can go where and when, the order, when to go in, when to go out, the order of the avoda, the measurements, the dimension of the building, the colors, the textures, the elements, the hooks, the poles. Over and over. Not to mention the kalim, the adaptive equipment that we... The kalim. An incredible amount of details that went into building and establishing and maintaining the Mishkan. As if to drive home the point that God is in the details. And that's the key to our orientation. That God is in the details. And that everything counts. Once we're talking about Hashras Hashchina, 1982, Van Halen made history. It was called a world invasion. That's what they called it. The name of the tour, not from Van Halen, just to give me a second. Van Halen, anyone? Okay. And the rest of you maybe went on a bed or embarrassed to admit that you know Van Halen? Okay. Maybe you'll watch VH1 Behind the Music about the way it was. Yeah, your grandmother, not that you'll watch it, your grandmother's house, and she's watching whatever, you see it. There was once upon a time, in a land far away, there was a band that dominated the face of the earth called Van Halen. Their tour in 1982 was called The World Invasion. They sold out 200 arenas and stadiums in 1 year. That's a lot. I'm not saying Dafyomi is not a big thing. It's a couple stadiums in New York. Let's see them sell out in Indianapolis. One day, God willing, and then it'll be in Eretz Israel. But until then, it was called The World Invasion. The name of the tour was actually called Hide Your Sheep Tour. Ayin Sham or not. Eddie Van Halen is one of the greatest. Alex Van Halen. But David Lee Roth, a Jew from Pasadena, son of an accountant, he set the standard for what it meant to be a rock star. When you're a rock star, and you list adjectives to describe what a rock star is: overindulgent, decadent, over the top. David Lee Roth, he broke the mold. He was the ultimate rock star prima donna. He was a cult of personality. Agav, David Lee Roth lights the menorah. He was one of the greatest. But he was the symbol. He was the symbol for what it meant to be a delusional celebrity. He was the symbol of what it meant to be someone who was outlandish, who was immature, who was just demanding, arrogant, and complete prima donna. Just as an example, if in case anybody doesn't believe me, I printed it out, I found it online, whatever. I found it online if anybody would like it. That tour, that World Invasion in 1982, where they sold literally 80 million albums. Back in the day when people bought albums, 80 million albums Van Halen sold. Their contract for that tour was 291 pages. 291 pages of a contract that if you were a promoter in Cleveland, in Indianapolis, and across the country, in Texas, or in California, and you wanted to sell out a Van Halen show, you had to sign a 291-page contract. Embedded in there, all sorts of stuff about the type of contraband that they insisted on, the type of cigarettes they wanted, and other supplies. And tucked in on page 40 of Section D, which is specific to band requirements. In Section D, page 40, is a section called Munchies. On that list of Munchies is 10 pounds of M&Ms. Warning, no brown ones. They were the first to come up with that. After which, everybody does it, everybody's a prima donna nowadays, but it's not impressive. David Lee Roth set the standard. Ad kidei kach that they had the lawyers write into this 291-page contract that if there was a detail off, that if something, when they got there and it wasn't the way it was supposed to be according to the contract, they can be paid and not get on stage. They'll walk off. Forfeiture of the show with full compensation for the band. Maisa Shahaya in Colorado in 1982 of that year, jam-packed house. David Lee Roth walks into the backstage area, the dressing room, walks over to the coffee table, sees a big glass bowl of M&Ms like was written there, starts sifting through, he found some M&Ms. He said, forget this, or a version of that, and said, I'm out. We're not going on tonight, boys. And they say, are you serious? There are 75,000 people outside waiting. There's millions of dollars in sponsorship and revenue. And look, all the beer is there. Just okay, whatever, the M&Ms, no. He wouldn't get on stage. Years later, in his memoir, very kedai for those of us who are interested in such a thing. It's called Crazy from the Heat. I'll just share it. He explained, he said, I'm not such a megalomaniac, I'm a down-to-earth guy. He said, my grandparents survived, were from Europe. They went through the war. My dad was an accountant. I grew up in a very modest home in Pasadena. Not so megalomaniac, not so delusional, not so crazy about details. He said, we pull up with 9 18-wheel trucks, 9 18-wheelers, full of gear, pyrotechnics, sound equipment. The standard at that point for rock shows were 3 trucks max, maximum 3 trucks. And there were many, many technical errors. Whether it was the girders that couldn't support the weight, or the flooring would sink in, or the doors weren't big enough to move the gear through. We specifically designed the contract rider to read like a version of the Chinese Yellow Pages, because there was so much equipment and so many human beings to make it function. That show in Colorado that they didn't play, engineers later checked the stage. They went back after he wrote his memoir. They went back and checked that stage. It was the same stage that was there. If they would have gone on stage with that amount of sound equipment, the pyrotechnics, the floor would have collapsed. They would have died. It would have been a massive tragedy. He put the M&M clause in there to see that if the people promoting the concert, or the concert weren't being careful to pay attention to what was in section D, page 40, to be careful to not put in the brown M&Ms, if they're not to be trusted over a bowl of M&Ms, how are we supposed to trust them that the stage could hold us up, that the show can go on, that we can rock out? It's Sakanas Nefashos. We came here to rock. But we have to make sure that the stage, that there's a vessel, that it can support us, that the kelim are in order. Sefer Vayikra, Chever, there's so many details. I-9s, W-4s, corporate compliance, abuse and neglect. You're going to sit in session after session after session. And it's not going to take long for you to think, cares if there's brown M&Ms or not? You hold the camper this way or that way. It starts at 8 or 8:20, noon. What's the big difference between friends? Come on. We're here to rock. Hesk is awesome. Van Halen. Panama. But what are we here for? There can be no show. No riding with the devil, nothing. No jump, nothing. It won't happen. We will not be able to rock out this summer if we don't pay attention to the details. And the next few days, you're going to have the opportunity and the obligation, not just for ourselves, but for those who are charged to take care of and provide for, because of Sakanas Nefashos, to pay close attention. It's impossible to overstate how critical this is. For those of you who are here for your first time, and for those of us who are returning, be a part of the sessions, be timely, take them seriously. You'll be provided with paper and pen. Take notes. Tzomet lev. Pay attention. God is in the details. There's lots of brown M&Ms also. It's not just Chefza, it's not just the kalim and the structure here, that there's a lot of details and texture and material that you're going to have to learn. But more importantly, more essentially, in the world of Gavra, at Camp Ask and everywhere, everyone counts. In the Beis Avram, Slonim Rebbe, he escaped the Holocaust, came to Yerushalayim, he rebuilt Chassidus and Eretz HaKodesh. He framed the building of the Mishkan as follows. Ha'ikaru, the main thing in creating a space, a meeting space, a dwelling space, a place of service, a place of Shechina, ha'ikaru she'ish ha'yehudi yisromeim la'kadosh baruch hu, should be elevated, to push themselves, to go out of their comfort zone. Yisromeim la'kadosh baruch hu. Zebet Torah, zebet tefillah. Ba'amiras tehillim, v'zebet tzedakah. Each one according to their own way, their own strengths, their own abilities, and their own role. Va'al yidei kol zeh, everyone together. Va'asuli mikdash v'shachanti v'soch. V'toch kol echa v'echa v'yish davar tova mida tova. In every one of us, there's something different, something special, something unique. And we each have a different job here. We each have a different place. Play a different part, have a different role, or in a different department. Uvein kulam, but all together, yesh mikdash shalem l'hashras hashchina. That's what it means to be part of a team. Different divisions and responsibilities, different roles. But everyone essential and no one less important. To express that in the Mishkan, the finishing touch of the Mishkan, so the overarching feel of the Mishkan, of the tabernacle, is created by the cover. The cover of the Mishkan was, Ribbono Shel Olam instructs us to stretch Orot Techashim, the hide or the or the skin of a tachash. That was what like was a tapestry, like a canopy above the Mishkan. What was this animal, this tachash, of all the different materials, the gold, the silver, and all the details, why specifically a tachash, this tapestry, to cover the top of the Mishkan? What was this animal? Says Rashi in Parshas Truma, Techashim, these animals, was a minchaya, was a certain type of an animal, it was a species, velo haita elo l'shaita. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it, the tachash, for that specific time, and that specific place, and that specific purpose. It was only l'shaita, it only existed then. It was unique. V'harbeg vanim hayala. It had lots of colors. It was a tapestry with lots of colors. Lochein Mesarim, therefore the Targum calls a tachash a sasgona. Shesas, because it celebrates, it rejoices, umitpa'er, and is proud, bigvanim shalav, its colors. It was proud of its unique colors. This tachash, this animal that Hashem created specifically for that time and place, knew that there was no other tachash in the world like it. And that's why the Mishkan, the place of meeting God, the place of meeting one another, the Ribbono Shel Olam instructed for that unique message to be draped across the top of the entire thing. So that everyone who comes near the Mishkan knows, there's something here that's unique. And there's something in me that's unique. That means there's something unique in other people too. And that I'm important, that you're important, that we're all important. And there's this mysterious animal, colorful sasgona, that lived specifically for that time and that purpose. There are not 350 campers and 500 plus staff. To paraphrase Rav Huttner, in Camp Pass, there is one camper 350 times. And there is one staff member 550 times. Because everyone, every role, every tafkid, every job, every department is unique, is essential, is its own thread, with its own color that's woven together to create this majestic tapestry that we call Camp Pass. And that's what surrounds us. That's what creates Hashroas Hashchina, the Veshachanti Besoch. Over the course of the next few days, you're going to meet a lot of people. You're going to meet a lot of new people. You're going to learn new terminology, new ideas, rules, regulations, texture, color, people, protocol, details. We're going to daven over it together. And it's going to be very special. Before we move on and introduce you to some of our head staff in the upcoming video, there's so many people to thank. Thank all of those who worked so hard to prepare this orientation and to have camp as beautiful, as welcoming as it is. Everyone in our maintenance, housekeeping, and operations department, media and support departments, and specifically to our camp psychologist, Dr. Shalamis Palik. Well, the department's efforts to quarterback this orientation. And the tefillah of the Hakamas HaMishkan, Yiratzon Shetishra Shechina B'masa Yadeinu, Hashem Shebi Mezakas, Yazreinu Advar Kvod Shemo, that we believe that we are the ones who are generating this divine presence. I thank you all for coming. You can't pass because it's a special place because you're here.